Welcome to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Questions or comments during the broadcast are always welcome. You can send them to dj@artistfirst.com. If you are an author or independent recorded artist, we'd love to hear from you. You can simply follow the links we've provided to schedule your show. This hour on Authors First, it's our privilege to introduce Hunter Shea, author of, that's right, Forget the Shadows. No, Forest of Shadows. And for your convenience, we have his website on our homepage. Simply his name. I love it when they do this, HunterShea.com. How you doing, Hunter?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being our guest this hour and for taking time to share. How did you get involved in this writing career?
You know, I ask myself that often. It's a long, lonely road when you want to do this, but the payoff is really tremendous. You know, I grew up a huge reader, and the first, you know, what we call big person book that I read as a kid was a Stephen King book. I think I was probably 8 at the time, and I just kind of knew that I wanted to do something like that, tell scary stories, but as a young kid, I didn't know exactly how I wanted to do it, but as I got older, I would dabble in some writing here and there, usually something completely terrible. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s and I was working a absolutely horrible job at the phone company with a friend of mine, Norm, and I noticed one day that he was tapping away at his break, and I said, well, what are you doing over there? And he said, I'm writing a book. I've been writing a book for the last couple of years. And I just thought that was pretty amazing that somebody I knew was writing a book, because I just, at the time, I thought books were only written by professors with tweed jackets. So to see that a guy sitting next to me was writing a book was pretty amazing. And he said, you know, you should try doing it too. But do you hear a lot of static on this?
I do, and I wish I knew where it was coming from, but, you know, that's live radio, and
yeah.
These phone lines don't always work like we want them to. I recently bought a Sprint Android for my wife, and she's ready to throw it at the wall on a regular basis.
You know, that's why I picked the landline phone. I said these are usually better than the cell phones.
Yes, they are, and that's what we recommend, so I apologize. I wish there was something I could do. I could hang up.
Let me see. Well, it might be my side. I don't know. I think my landline is so
neglected.
Maybe it's acting up.
We have a patch. We're right in there, man. And we're going out fat, too, and live worldwide. And I tell you what, we're having a great time. 17 years, 24/7, worldwide broadcasting with over 4 million downloads a month from our archives of over 4,000 hours available free on demand. So we're out there in a big way, Hunter Shea, and I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about, you know, how you get started in this whole way. You must have been a kind of a scary kid at 8 years old reading Stephen King, I would imagine. My wife has a full collection of Stephen King hardbacks. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she's a big fan. We love that genre of material anyway. Did you like scary movies, or what was it most that compelled you to this kind of writing?
I have to tell you, we had a drive-in that wasn't too far from our house growing up. It was about 10 minutes away, and my father would take us to the drive-in all the time. And the B-movies growing up in the 70s were usually horror movies. So back when he would turn around and say, all right, Kevin, time to go to sleep, I would just kind of lay back a little bit and open up one eye. And I saw, you know, movies like The Exorcist and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all of these great movies at the time, and they didn't scare me at all. And once they realized that I was awake and it didn't really bother me, then it was fine for me to go and watch these things. And as I got even a little older, my father would take me out to see the movies specifically to catch the latest new horror thing. So,
well, I'm a little older than you, so I remember black and white and monsters that were coming out of lagoons or big blobs of things, you know, just kind of rolling around and eating people. Or the werewolf was always a good one, too, in black and white, you know.
But I love those monsters.
There's our age difference in what happens at the drive-in. And they still, hey, you know, I my wife and I took the grandkids to the drive-in. Now it's on your car radio, man.
Yeah, it sounds so much better, doesn't
it? We used to have those things, you know, you put them in the window and wind it up, and then it'd be raining or whatever. But no, now it's over the speaker of your car.
And if you have a good sound system, you have the full experience.
And you know what? That's what's great about technology. So here we are, Hunter Shea. Guess what? 2012 is knocking at the door, pal, and the cars are going to be equipped with Wi-Fi. People will be able to listen to Artist First World Radio Network in their car.
Which would be fantastic.
I mean, it's a reality. It's coming out in 2012 in many models, and people are just going goo-ga over it. Imagine internet access while you're driving.
It's crazy. I mean, I didn't even know what the internet was up until 15 years ago. And now I can't
Function
without it.
You should have seen the way it was 17 years ago when we got started, or 18 years ago. I mean, you're right. People had landlines. They didn't have high speed. You know, they were just figuring out fiber optics.
Right.
It was the infancy, and there we were, Artist First, one of the first and one of the longest-running internet radio stations on planet Earth. And we do it for the love of it, and thank you for supporting the arts, being our guest, coming on to tell us about your book and your inspiration. So early on, you really knew that, and look, someone just said to you, hey, well, if I were you, I'd start writing.
Yeah, exactly, because we both, we hated our jobs, and life at the time wasn't the best, and he said, you know what, if anything, it's a great escape. And no truer words were ever said. And he is still my mentor. And we both kind of, you know, bounce ideas off each other and kind of revel in each other's successes. And it's just been great to have that kind of person in my life that's driven me to do, really follow my dream.
Forest of Shadows Unleashed, audience, if you haven't been quick enough to click the website. We've listed at artistfirst.com. By the way, when this show is archived, along with thousands of other broadcasts, we'll include the website for you, and you'll be able to share this on Twitter and Facebook and all your social network sites. And if you buy a new car, you can listen to it while you drive.
There you go. And hopefully I'll have an audiobook next year. You know, that's one of the goals that we have in place right now, so we'll see how that goes.
Now, if you have hate mail, send that to Hunter. If you love, if you have love mail, send that to me, Tony K. Tony K. Tony K. Tony K. at Artist First, and be happy to answer the one in a million, you know, that we get. So have fun. You know what's coming up next? It's Bigfoot Central. So we have our entourage of Bigfoot enthusiasts already logging on right now.
Really?
So Hunter Shea. Now, Bigfoot enthusiasts, I don't know if I saw some Sasquatch movie. I think it was on Sci-Fi where they made Bigfoot out to be this this ferocious man-eating beast. Right. And so I don't know. Maybe this wouldn't be a good book to read right before Bigfoot. I don't know. Might scare the kajibis. It's already scary enough in those woods. Now, let's have Forest of Shadows Unleashed.
Yeah,
it's the horror. And it's Halloween, you know.
Perfect timing.
Hey, perfect timing. And so all of you Bigfoot enthusiasts, get out there, buy the book, Hunter Shea, S-H-A. EA.
Absolutely. I do mention Bigfoot in the book. Oh. Believe it or not, it's about a paranormal researcher. And he.
Okay, we're going to get right to it. Let's go ahead. Shoot. Let's talk about Bigfoot now.
Yeah. The book, it's about a guy who's a paranormal researcher, and he does allude to Bigfoot and UFOs and Loch Ness Monster. But his main thing is ghosts. The reason being, The book starts 5 years earlier where he wins the lottery on the same day that his wife dies in her sleep of just natural causes. And he spends the next 5 years really dealing with survivor's guilt, anxiety disorder. He's raising a young daughter who was a baby when his wife passed away. So in a way, he's using his freedom to do whatever he wants, to really look into the paranormal. And a part of him is trying to find confirmation that, you know, his wife is still out there somewhere, and that maybe there's a possibility that they can meet again someday.
That sounds scary.
You know, it's funny. It was scary on a couple of levels, because it was scary dealing with the paranormal aspect of things and ghosts, which I've always been interested in and had a couple of weird, unexplained experiences. But also getting into the whole concept of survivor's guilt and anxiety disorder, which, I mean, this is something that could happen to anybody. And the long road that you have to kind of get your way out of that, which is just a remarkable journey for people who take it.
Hunter, Shay, you have found a home.
I hope I have.
Yeah, I mean, we're all just like that here. That's incredible. Well, you know, I find that every author comes at their material with the backdrop of who they are and what their interests happen to be and what excites them and why do they pick this particular topic of information to talk about, you know? And
yes.
And so that's what we're delving into here with our author. You know, you're really exploring issues that you feel passionate about or that you're curious about, and you're able to bring that together in this book. Did it come to you all at one time, or this was a Bigfoot subject? Did that come early or later, or how does your material end up in the form that it's in?
I have to. This particular book took 4 years to write, and it started out with an idea of me saying, "Okay, I really would like to write a modern day kind of ghost story. So let's just see where this takes me." And I said, well, let me throw some things in here that I've kind of gone through. When I had started it, I was a year away from having my own case of anxiety disorder that lasted, thankfully, only 6 months. But it was a horrible 6 months. And it was funny because when I set out to write it, I had all these ideas and touch points that I wanted to get in the book. And there were some things I said, all right, I'm going to draw this from my life and draw this from some experiences and things that I'd like to see. And when I was done with the book 4 years later and started looking it over, I said, wow, I can't believe how much I put of myself in here. I mean, there were things that my subconscious was writing all along that I had no intention of putting in there. And it turned out it made it a stronger and a better book. But it is just incredible how when you get into that writing zone, how much the book starts to write you more than the other way around.
Yeah, you know, and authors have told me that, when I ask, how do you develop your characters? And where are they? Well, I think of this person or that. And when those people read the book, do they see themselves? Well, sometimes they do. And they'll say, yeah, that was me you were writing about, wasn't it? You know?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes you didn't even think about it. You're like, oh my God, that is you.
So the idea here is to make a believable book, obviously. And so you try in your mind, I think, to express yourself of the core of what you think or believe, or maybe it's all fantasy. You know, it doesn't have to be reality. It could be thinking about issues or topics or situations that you would never, ever put yourself in reality. But
right.
But as an author, you're free to do that.
You're free to do that, and it's kind of cool where you can paint yourself into a corner and say, all right, now, if I was ever in this situation, how could I ever get out of it? And then you're going through the maze in your mind and on the page of how you get your characters out of that situation. And sometimes you walk out of that and you go, wow, I didn't know that I had that kind of resolve. Even though you didn't actually live what you're writing, you realize, oh, you know what, I think my mind's resilient enough to get me through most situations.
Hunter Shay, our guest, and I'm trying to, he's got a hum, we've got a really, I just hate this line, I don't understand it.
Do you hear, right now it sounds perfectly fine.
Well, and now I hear a different sound, but that's okay, we're here. Maybe it's the shadows.
I was just going to say.
It's the forest of shadows invading us this Halloween season. You're looking for a haunting book, one of paranormal and Bigfoot, of course, if you're an enthusiast of him. This is a good book. Hunter Shay, thank you for putting it together. 4 years in the making. And I know, Hunter, you were paid, $50,000, $60,000 a year for that effort? I can't remember
least.
What that was, huh? What was that?
Okay. I wish I was paid 50, 60 cents for every year I put into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it cost you, though. Plenty.
It does. It costs you time and money going out with people and friends and family. And there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into it that you don't know if it was all going to be worth it or not when you're done.
No. And you'll probably write another one.
Oh, I've written. There's quite a few. We have another one coming out next year. And I think the goal right now is to have one out next for each year for the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, you have the Facebook thing going, so I'm sure your fan base, they're saying, hey, wow, when's the next one? When's the next one?
Yeah, I do. I have Facebook fan pages, and I'm into Twitter, and I'm blogging, and I have audio and video podcasts. So there's a lot going on and tons of content for people to find out exactly what's going on in this bizarre life I've carved out for myself.
What's this Monster Men Episode 5, The Monsters That Made Us?
Yeah, that's my friend Jack Campisi and I. We worked together for a period of years, and we just realized we were just brothers from another mother, without a doubt. And we had similar backgrounds growing up and the exact same likes and dislikes. And one of the things that we were big on as kids was the classic monster movies that you would see on Chiller Theater and watching Kolchak the Night Stalker. And we said, you know what, one day we really have to get together and kind of talk about all the things in horror that we love and things that we think we can suggest to people that maybe the casual fan doesn't know about. So we started a podcast a few months ago, and so far people are loving it. We're having a great time doing it, and we just shot 6 more episodes over the weekend. And we hope to put a new one up every week for the month of October.
You mean you won't do 6 every week?
Lord, no. That was way too much. We were by the. I think you'll. If people will see, by the time we get to the 6th episode, we're kind of loopy.
With YouTube and with the technology on your phone and your computer, be able to watch these episodes, it's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And now we're thinking about doing it up on iTunes, too, so people have alternate ways to download it and drop it into their players. So it's incredible what technology has done for everything. But for a writer, this is great because...
And yours are free.
Absolutely free. You know, so... We're hoping...
You hear that? You hear that, audience? Bigfoot guys out there. It costs nothing.
Nothing.
This is their favorite word.
Just two crazy guys and our opinions.
Cost nothing. That is tremendous, you know. And you're right. The technology to make that available for an audience to listen to and get the word out and hopefully sell some books, too.
Yeah, that's if they like the podcast, hopefully they'll take a look over at Forest of Shadows and pick that up as well. I mean, right now, it's as an ebook up until the end of the year, and you can get it for, I think, $3.85 at our publisher's website, samhainepublishing.com.
Ooh, is there a link on your website?
Yes.
Okay.
If you go to my website, there's a link to the publisher and Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
All right, everyone. You can just go up in your server, http://hunter, like you're hunting for Bigfoot, right?
Exactly.
H-U-N-T-E-R, Shea, S-H-E-A, .com/.
Yep.
Get there.
Explicit there.
Get there and buy it. It's just that easy. Go there, buy it.
Please.
Right now. Just buy it right now.
I've got to feed the kids.
Regardless, we don't care about your kids. Well, no, just kidding. Buy the book. You'll need this book. It'll be a hoot. You'll love having it, and especially if you want to really scare somebody before you go looking for Bigfoot.
Yes. You can bring it with you on your trip to find Bigfoot.
Yeah, bring it with you.
See if that scares you trying to lay in the tent at night surrounded in the forest.
Well, that's awesome. Just awesome. So, you know, pretty much 24/7, this is on your mind.
Oh, absolutely. I dream it. I wake up sometimes. I write notes. I go back to sleep. I wake up. It's the first thing and the last thing I think about just about most days.
And your wife and children, they have adapted to this environment.
Yes, they've tolerated it. It's much easier now that there's a book deal and there are multiple deals going, so it's like, oh, okay, so he wasn't just crazy in that room all that
right,
time.
Right. Well, they can look at the website, and that says it all. It has to be real if it's here in front of me on the Internet.
Exactly. So that part is okay. And then my oldest daughter, when I first got the book contract, she said, oh, great, can you make it so I can meet Cody Simpson and Justin Bieber? That's if, you know, you're part of this club and you'll meet every celebrity on Earth.
And you will when they're too old to appreciate them any longer. Maybe your grandkids. That's what typically happens. You know, we love overnight successes. Of course, we want you to be a New York Times bestseller. We want all of the reviews to be glamorous and glorious, and we want sales to reach a million next month, no doubt. But the reality is, it's a lot of work as an author. You're not just the challenge. You know, I've heard it so many times. If I could just write, that would be great. But you've got to do all of these other things as well to get your name out there and people familiar with the book.
Right. Yeah, the writing's the easiest part. I mean, literally, I had to stop. I was working on a novel, and I stopped writing on it in early September just so I could dedicate myself to the 2 months of promotion that are going on right now. I'm asked to write articles for different blogs and essays and doing Q&As and different interviews. So, I mean, there isn't time, but day after Halloween, I plan to get right back into that book and settle back into where I'm comfortable and happy.
Forest of Shadows. We've talked about Bigfoot. We'll mention it again later in the broadcast. And now the paranormal. Were these based on some ghostly encounters, perhaps, or spiritual acknowledgments that you've experienced?
There is an experience that I had in the early 90s that made its way into the book. What had happened was my wife, when we got married, she has a rare muscle disorder, and something happened internally with her, and she ended up very, very ill for several years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a rough go.
Oh, I know. That's so hard on both. And I'm sure especially her feelings of wanting of helplessness, you know, because she wants to take care of everyone else.
And being a good Sicilian woman, she definitely likes to take care of people. And this was definitely crimping her style. we spent years, her in the hospital, sometimes for 3 months at a time, come home for a month, back in the hospital. So we would finally get a huge surgery for her. And we said, all right, well, this will be the surgery that's going to finally get her on the path. But it's going to take a while, so just be patient. And they sent her home on life support. And I had to learn how to hook her up to life support every day, which was terrifying. That's scarier than any monster you could ever find, you know, under your bed or in your closet.
How do you rest? How do you sleep? You're worried constantly. Did I do it right? And is it still working?
It's terrifying because they'll show you how to do everything, and they tell you all the things. If you do this thing wrong, and we're talking the most minute thing, well, you'll kill her. So just be careful. So every night I'm hooking these things up, and my hands are like shaking, and I'm terrified. I'm going, did I do this right? Am I going to hurt her? Am I going to kill her? But luckily, you kind of get used to it after a while. You get pretty good at it, and those fears start to go away. So I can see a little bit of how nurses and doctors do the job they do and just can maintain a level head.
But nonetheless, that reality and coming to grips with that fear in your mind, you know, it's if you've ever had been near to death or in an automobile accident where everything flashes in front of you, it's not something you forget. And so those emotions, feelings were rattling around inside of you, and you were able to translate or somehow convert that into some of this shadowy feeling in your book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a tightly wound coil for that year that she was home on that. The weird thing that had happened was one day I was in the kitchen, and I think I was doing dishes, and I look into the hallway, and I see a boy, just as plain as any boy that you could ever see, and he just kind of walks into the bedroom where she is. And I said, well, what the heck was that? So I went over into the bedroom, and she was asleep, and there was no boy in the bedroom. I went down. I opened up the door to see if maybe some kid got in by accident, but there was nobody there. So I just chalked it up. I said, you know what? I'm tired. I probably saw this. Just, it's my imagination. I won't even think about it. I think another month or two went by, and I see him again. And this time I hear him run into the room, and I dash into the room, and there she is alone. There's nobody there. And this happened, I'd say, three or four more times over the course of the next year. And the boy, he was about 8 years old and just looked like your average kid. And the weird thing was there was never any feeling of malice when he was around, and there wasn't any even a feeling of fear. It was more curiosity of what am I seeing. And I didn't mention it to my wife because I said, all right, she has a lot going on. She doesn't need to know this. I didn't mention it to anybody else because I figured they would think I've lost it. You know, I'm under a lot of stress. He's probably lost his mind at this point. What can we do to help him? And at that time, I said, look, let's just concentrate on getting my wife better. So it was a complete silent point on my part. And my wife, when she got better, turns to me one day, and she says, you know, one of the things that really helped, especially when you were out of the house, was this boy that would come in and sit by me. And every hair on my body stood up. And I said, well, what do you mean, what, a boy? And she said, yeah, there's this young boy, he looked like he was about 8 or 9, and he would come in the room and stand there, and I just always felt comforted by him. And I said, well, what did he look like? And she described the exact boy I had been seeing the entire year. And that just completely blew me away and changed the way I look at things. I mean, I don't know what he was. I just know he was here. And when everything was better, he was gone.
Forest of Shadows by our author, Hunter Shea, on the Artist First Radio Network. Tony K in the studio. It's nearly Halloween, everyone. We're in that spirit of shadows and ghosts and things that are just on the outer edge or fringe of our lives. Hunter Shea, capturing some of that emotion, those feelings that we experience in such a great way. And you're going to love the website. It's simply his name, Hunter Shea, SHEA.com. The website is at artistfirst.com, so you could click it from our homepage as well. Buy the book. It's a great compliment for your library. Or download as an ebook. I believe Hunter said $3.95. How could you beat the price? Well, but, you know, if you're a Bigfoot enthusiast and you're out there in the woods, you want your hard copy. You got to have it in the bunk. So, Forest of Shadows, get your hard copy and enjoy it wherever you hunt this coming season.
No matter what you hunt.
No matter what you hunt, okay. So, but what a beautiful relationship you have with your wife, and it really takes a loving partner who is tolerant of a writer's time, 4 years of really carving out your niche, your style, your approach to material, and how it is morphed into so much more from your website, from your videos, from your Facebook and other things that you're doing. Really, you have to wear a lot of hats to be an effective author these days.
Oh, yes, you do. And another hat that I didn't think I would be wearing is because people have heard about the book, and I've talked to some folks and a little bit about my experience, and now I've been asked to actually go on paranormal hunts with different so-called paranormal experts, and so I'm getting exposed to that world, which is just really a lot of fun.
Wow, that would be scary. I don't know if I could handle that.
You know, I was last week I was in a place in New York City called the Manhattan Bistro. It's a little restaurant and bar down in Soho, and I was with some people, and then they said, well, we got permission from the owner to go see the haunted well downstairs.
That creeps me out.
Well, it turns out the haunted well has been haunted since 1790. It was the scene of the first murder investigation in New York, investigated by Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. And it was about a man and his soon-to-be wife had a quarrel, and he killed her and threw her in the well. And for the last 200-plus years, people see her spirit coming up out of the well. They hear things, they hear voices. So we got to go down in this tiny, cramped basement and see this huge, old, crumbling well that stood about 7 feet up above the ground. And crazily enough, I asked if they would just turn out all the lights and if we could just sit there in silence and see if we felt anything. But we didn't, but it was a great experience.
Oh, but they turned the lights off.
They turned the lights off. I happened to have my digital recorder that I use just for giving myself notes. I put it on the lip of the well, and we gave it some questions, and then we just kept it silent, took some pictures. So I've yet to listen to the audio. I have to listen to see if we caught anything other than ourselves kind of shuffling around in the dark.
Your Silence of the Lamb moment.
Yes. That's exactly what my friend Jack on Monster Men said.
Well, you know, brilliant minds think alike. That's all the way it goes. Hunter Shea, thank you for sharing. You think that out of this will be an outgrowth of other books?
Yeah, I'm actually at work on the sequel to it. It's going to pick up with one of the characters from Forest of Shadows, and it's her life 13 years later. So she's a young woman kind of picking up in her father's footsteps. And I think with all the weird experiences that I've been asked to partake in, I'm sure there's going to be more stories and books to come on that particular subject.
Yeah. Now, are there particular blogs or other locations that you can target of enthusiasts when it comes to horror, paranormal, Bigfoot, and that type of literature?
Thanks to the proliferation of, I think what did this for the field of the paranormal is all the paranormal television that's come out in the last 6-7 years. People are they're pretty actually proud to say, oh yes, I believe in this and that, and I'm part of this group. So you could just type in, you know, ghost groups or paranormal groups or Bigfoot explorers, and you'll find hundreds of places that you can go to get information, share information, or even meet up with different types of people to go out and explore on your own.
If you told someone that you saw a UFO or anything like that in the 60s when I was growing up, you'd be in the nut house, man.
Exactly. You're exactly.
Now, the weirder the story, the more popular you are.
You tell that story, and then you'll make a little YouTube video about it and put up a website, and all of a sudden you're a minor celebrity.
Yeah, and if you get to capture it on your camera, you're, wow, man, now you're really in, like, Flynn, worldwide.
Mm-hmm. And then you have all the big UFO websites out there looking at it, trying to debunk it, the fact that they're talking about it is just getting you more exposure, which people are very happy to have.
You better get busy. I mean, you know, lights out. Are you going to buy all the equipment?
You know, I've talked to enough of the ghost hunters and some of the people who actually do these shows on television, and they've said to me, look, we're on television, so, you know, the studio, the networks give us a lot of this expensive equipment, but, you know, a lot of them have been doing it for 10, 20 years. I said, what you really need is an open mind, an audio recorder and a camera at, you know, the very least, and a pad and a pencil. And then you just go out and you have your experience, and you just do your investigation and be as professional as you can about it.
I'd be writing down the names of the manufacturers of this equipment and asking them, hey, you know, I'll wear your T-shirt.
You know, some of this equipment that they use is tens of thousands of dollars. So it's not for the casual ghost hunter. You have to be, this has to be your business. So either that or you won the lottery like my character and you have some money to spare.
Well, I mean, it's true in any endeavor. You should see, we collect the Bigfoot hair, okay, and we have to go through a lot of expense to be told, well, we don't know what it is. Really? Okay. But we're not going to say it's Bigfoot, and we're not going to say it's a species of any sort, but, you know, we don't know what this is. Isn't that sort of like a UFO? You know, I'm an astronaut, or I'm, you know, flying around. Hey, what's that? Well, I don't want to say it's a UFO.
Right. And, you know, and you spend a lot of money on DNA sampling to get an answer that's not an answer. It's just it creates more questions. And I'm pretty sure most of anything in the paranormal field can be explained away, but if there's even 1% that can't be explained at all, that's enough to keep me and a lot of other people going.
Oh, well, you know, and you're right. I mean, there are authors who love crime. They write crime. They love crime, okay? And then there are those who like thriller. There are those who, you know, there's different genres of material that some... And then you have a few authors that cross over, you know. Well, I'm writing a children's book now, you know. But in my last book, this guy had his head cut off. But in this book, you know, it's for my kids, you know. So you have some of those guys that are good authors that can cross over. But typically, I think you find a niche, an area, you feel comfortable maneuvering, and then you begin to accumulate data, you know, and then pretty soon you have a library of literature that you've written, and maybe it took one form on a blog or online, and now it's taken a new form in a book. And so I think that today with technology, you have to obviously have to put in the perspiration, you know. It just doesn't invent itself. Oh, there, who typed it? You know, right. Someone really physically has to do this work, and that's a big investment.
It's a big investment, but, you know, if you love it, it's fantastic.
No, if your wife is tolerant, it's great.
You need a very supportive partner.
Yeah, oh yeah, no question. And so I'm so happy that you and your family are having a great time at writing, and that this is a long term, and you have some new material coming out in 2012.
Yes, we do.
And you're obviously building a library of online video content, and the book's available as an e-book for $3.95, everyone.
Yes, can't beat that.
If I didn't say that already. So you better be buying it.
It's funny that you just mentioned about authors who do cross genres, because I do have a children's book that was picked up this year that will be out with Random House.
Imagine, imagine that.
So, but that's, you know, that's the deal. You get one book and you get.
I know. Well, you can find anything out about anybody online. Come on. But yeah, so do you think you'll continue with that area of children's books?
You know what's funny? That was the book itself was something I wrote for my daughters when they were very young, and I read it to them, and they looked at me, and there were no pictures, so it was like, okay, what was that? So I put it away, and it got picked up by, you know, one of the biggest publishers in the world, and I've been asked to do more in that vein, and I got to tell you, I found that I really love doing that. It's great to write for kids.
And, you know, it's a lot more, it's a lot freer today than it used to be, you know, 40 years ago. Look at the Harry Potter and how it's trickled down to younger and younger ages where, you know, magic and sorcery and all of that, you know, it really is our children are conditioned from television and other sources of information today to delve and dabble in those fields.
Yeah, I mean, they're exposed to so much, and there's so much that they can read. I mean, I didn't have any of this stuff growing up. But as a writer, it also gives you free rein to dabble in anything. One of the things that, you know, I'm working on now is a big project combining children's books with horror, kind of like a Goosebumps kind of thing. And we'll see where that goes, but it's been a blast writing them.
Now, where are those located? Because they're not associated with the HunterShay.com website.
Yeah, right now they're all in the, you know, production stage and seeing where we're going to eventually, where it will eventually land.
So they'll be able to check back and you'll have a link available then?
Oh, yes.
From the HunterShay.com site?
Yes, once we have that all, once it's in the can, as they would say in the film business, I will let the whole world know, because that particular project that I'm working on has just been fantastic.
Well, I think it was a brave move to put your photograph online.
And you think I have a face made for radio?
Yes, you do, and so do I, and you won't find mine there. Of course, I use a different excuse. I say that the women just would go nuts, so I have to, you know, beat them off with a stick. And they could never put Tony K. If they love my voice, now imagine coupling that with a Roman god.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so my sister was a model.
Was she?
Yes. Professional model. I come from a good-looking family. I'm blessed, so I don't want to put myself out there, folks.
I understand.
But, Hunter, you did, and I think it's great that authors have this medium, this ability to connect with an audience like never before. So if you have an interest in Forest of Shadows, in the paranormal, in Bigfoot, in just things that, you know, it's Halloween, you know, horror, you know, that sensation that we get when we're excited about something unusual that's happening to us, we want you to get the book, Forest of Shadows, and read what you, take a look at our author this hour and read some of the material. He even put down that there was a show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we got started a little late, and that's okay, folks. You missed it. But we have a lot of fun here at Authors First. And listeners from every nation on earth, thank you for tuning in. 4 million strong. You guys are just downloading the material like there's no tomorrow, and that's because of the quality of our guests. Without you, Hunter, without others that come on our network, what content would we have worthy of downloading?
Right. It's great that you guys have been here. I've been listening since 1992.
Yeah, and look what it did to you.
I'm sorry, 2002. I get confused with my decades.
And look what happened to you. I mean,
see?
You know. So we've grown up. We've actually had authors we've interviewed 17, 18 years ago that come back and have their own weekly show. And we've had others that have gone on from doing their weekly show here to moving into syndication somewhere else or joining Sirius Satellite. So we've made our mark at Artists First because we love helping people that have talent. So, Hunter Shea, thank you for sharing your talent with our audience today. We hope that you had a great time introducing yourself to them. And before I let you go, have we covered all of the ground?
I think. I mean, we've talked about everything. I even revealed my ghost
story. I think we did. I think we got we didn't have a beer or anything, but I think we got quite a bit from the evening, and thank you for being our guest. Before I let you go, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to, goodbye to, or thank you?
Sure. I'd definitely like to say thank you to Norm Hendricks for getting this whole thing started. For a while, I thought it was not thanking you, but blaming you, but I thank you. And my Monster Man buddy, Jack Campisi. So we have big plans for 2012, so everybody stay tuned. And I hope that with Forest and Shadows, I did my job, and when you read it, you kind of get that chill up your back every now and then and look behind you and wonder who's standing just over you.
Bigfoot Central Live coming up.